I've mentioned to you the value of the memorized word. Some of you will remember the name Mike Singletary. Mike was a linebacker for the Chicago Bears back in the 1980s, and he was the heart and soul of their defense, Super Bowl 20, when they won that. He was named Defensive Player of the Year twice. He was inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame in 1998, and Mike Singletary is a very dedicated Christian. The story is told of one game in particular where he was so sick that the trainer had told him that he needed to sit this next game out. And Mike Singletary said, "No way am I going to sit this out." I mean, he was throwing up sick. He was dizzy, but he was not going to sit this game out. He went to his friend and teammate, Sean Gale, and said to him, "I need for you to come up to me after every play and quote to me 1 John 4:4, which says, 'Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world.'" And so his teammate agreed to do that. And Singletary got out on the field. He said he was seeing three of everything. And so he decided to just hit that which was in the middle. And after every play, his teammate came up to him and grabbed him by the shoulder pads and looked him in the face. And he said, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." And Singletary went on to have one of the greatest games of his career. It's just a reminder to me that there is power in the memorized word that we hide in our hearts. And some of you maybe are saying, "I just can't do that. I cannot memorize anything." Please don't say that. Don't say that you can't. Say that you can with Jesus' help. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Now, I realize the context of that verse doesn't have anything to do with memorizing Scripture. The context of 1 John 4:4 doesn't have anything to do with hitting somebody on the football field. But these verses remind us of the truth of God's Word. We can, with Jesus' help, do the challenges that are before us. When Jesus is with us, we can do all things through Him. Speaking of memorizing the Word, I meet with a group of guys every week, and we study together, and we memorize Scripture together. And this last week, our memory verse was Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, and it says this: "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." You may recognize that passage of Scripture to go along with the song, the old hymn that we have sung. Many of us have grown up singing that song, "Great is your faithfulness." And that passage of Scripture from Lamentations is where that hymn comes from. And so a week ago, I said to the guys that I meet with, "Be ready to quote Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 to the group, or you can sing the old hymn." And I had no idea that one of the guys would take me up on the singing. And there we are, Tuesday morning, and Steve Long, it's his turn to quote the Scripture, and instead of singing the song, he starts to sing. And he sings the whole first verse of "How great," or of "Great is thy faithfulness." And we were all just, I think, shocked as he was singing. He really didn't sing very good. But I have to tell you, it was a powerful moment. Because we were reminded through song how great God's faithfulness is. And I appreciate, Steve, you doing that. I don't think I'll ever forget that. It was a wonderful thing to hear you sing. And we have been talking over the last few weeks about the Holy Spirit. And you recall, as I started this particular series, that Jesus is saying, follow me and I will fill you up with my Spirit. And he said that to the disciples, and in their minds, they can't fathom Jesus being gone from them. Jesus, in fact, says to them, it's to your advantage that I go away. And because then I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. And they couldn't hardly imagine how that could be true, that it would be better for them that Jesus be gone. Well, it was true. Jesus was limited by his human body, and so he could be only in one place at one time. But all of that would change when the Holy Spirit would come. The Spirit is not limited by a human body, and he can be everywhere with anyone all at the same time. That was true then for those disciples, and it's still true for us today. The Spirit of God is such a blessing to us, and he is so multifunctional. And we've talked about that fact over these last few weeks, some of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. He comforts us. He counsels us. He helps us. In fact, Jesus referenced him as another helper just like me. You think about that. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. It's like having Jesus alongside of us as we live our life. And yes, the Spirit is a him. The Spirit is not an it. He is real. And though he is invisible, he is ever present and he is all powerful. And we talked about that last week, the fact that in the Spirit, he gives us power to overcome temptation that we face. He gives us power to help overcome sin that is in our life. He gives us power to witness. And we desperately need that power. There's something else that the Holy Spirit does for us. And we talked about this two or three weeks ago, the fact that he convicts us. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, the Scripture says. Today, I want to talk to you about three more things that the Holy Spirit does for us. The first thing is this: the Holy Spirit helps us understand the Word of God. Now, I'm sure this is true for you, just as it's true for me. There are times that we'll read something from the Bible and we'll struggle with what it's really saying to us. And we may even think in our own mind, what in the world is that talking about? I don't understand it. I know that's true for you, as it's true for me. Some things in this book we'll read and it just doesn't make sense. And those are the times that we should ask the Holy Spirit to help us in our understanding. He is the great translator or interpreter of Scripture. A few Fridays ago, I was on a Zoom call with about three different preachers from Ukraine. Now, the connection there is my son-in-law, Luke, in Indianapolis. His church supports this ministry in Ukraine. It's a Bible college. And he had invited me to be a part of this Zoom call. And really, I was just on the call listening to what was being said. The main fella from Ukraine that was speaking is a president at a Bible college there, and people from all over those eastern countries come to that Bible college in Ukraine, and they study for ministry, and then they go back to their country with the good news of Jesus. Well, on this Zoom call, as we're talking to each other, We're hearing from them, those who are on the ground amidst all of this devastation that is going on there. And I have to tell you, it was heart-wrenching to me to hear what this fella and the other two were having to say. There was an interpreter between us, a translator. The president of this Bible college didn't speak English. He would talk in his native tongue, and then the translator would interpret for us what he was saying, and vice versa. If we had something to say, the translator was translating to him. And I thought, that's a perfect illustration of what the Holy Spirit is for us. He is our translator. He is our interpreter of what the Scripture means. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And this is from the New Living Translation. Beginning with verse 11. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Now, I admit to you, as I've read that passage of Scripture through the years, it's been hard for me to really know what that Scripture is saying. And for a long time, I would just gloss over it, not really focusing on the meaning of that passage of Scripture. But as I slowed down and read it over and over again, 3, 4, 5 times, the Spirit of God began to make it clear to me what the meaning of that passage was. And there's a lot of passages just like that. It's hard for us to always grasp what God is saying. And honestly, some passages of Scripture are harder to understand than others. But the Holy Spirit and God are always, hear me say this, the Holy Spirit and God are always on the same wavelength. Now, we're not always on the same wavelength with God. We don't always understand Him. He's up here, perfect in His wisdom. And we're down here, very limited in our wisdom. And so when we have a passage of Scripture that's hard for us to understand, we need to call upon the Holy Spirit that He would bring us and God together, that He would help us get on the same wavelength together. That's what the Holy Spirit can do for us. He can open our minds to the truth of God's Word. Now, commentaries are helpful. And some of you have study Bibles, and at the bottom of those study Bibles, each page has a lot of writing and explanations about the text. And those are good too, and they're very accessible for us. But the first thing that we ought to do when we are reading Scripture and we see a passage that's hard for us to understand, the first thing we ought to do is to pray, Holy Spirit, would you help me in my understanding of this Scripture? Would you make it clear to me what your word is saying to me? And He can do that for us. He can take those hard to understand passages and He can make them more clear to us. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll never have to study again. It doesn't mean that you won't have to dig deep to get the meaning of some of those passages. The Spirit may choose to use your study and to help that scripture become clear to you through your study. He won't always just lay it out there for you to find the meaning of it with no work behind. No. The work is good, but the Spirit's involvement with our work is so much better. So keep in mind, the Holy Spirit, this is one of His functions for us as God has given Him to us. He helps us understand the Scripture better. Let me give to you a second thing today that the Holy Spirit will help you with. He intercedes for you. He intercedes for us in our praying. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. And again, from the New Living Translation. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. I have to tell you about a situation that happened to me recently, and I've actually shared this with a couple of different Bible study groups that I meet with. But I felt like it was an intervention of God in my life through the Holy Spirit. Just in the last 10 days, I'm not remembering exactly which day it was, but in the last 10 days, I was sitting in a drive-through bank line waiting to be serviced. And as I'm sitting there, this fellow walks by on the sidewalk beside me, about 30 feet from me. And I saw him, and he did not see me. And I have to be honest with you, if I have an enemy in this world, that fellow who walked past me is my enemy. But, of course, God says, I need to love my enemies. And that's really hard for me, to love this guy. I'm just being honest with you. And as he walked past me, immediately my mind wanted to go down a road that was negative in thinking about that fellow. And I could feel some uneasiness towards him swelling up inside of me. And I wanted to hold my fist up at him. Even though he didn't even see me, I wanted to hold my fist up at him. That's what was swelling up inside of me. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me very clearly and very loudly, and the Holy Spirit was saying to me, why don't you pray a blessing on that fellow? I don't want a blessing, God. Yeah, why don't you pray a blessing on him? And for a moment, there was a wrestling match going on inside of me. But it was so clear to me from the Holy Spirit what he was wanting me to do, to pray a blessing on this guy. And I did. I said, God, would you just bless him and his family? And I'm wondering if at that moment, that's when the Spirit took over my praying, and he prayed for me with groanings too deep for words, because the Holy Spirit knows where that fellow needs the blessing of God the most. And you know, when I drove away from that line, I felt so much better inside, having prayed a blessing on him, than if I had cursed him. I felt such a peace come over me. I felt such a gladness in my heart that I had listened to God's voice and obeyed him. This is what the Holy Spirit will do for us. He will help us. He will intercede for us in our praying when we don't know what to pray. The situation in Ukraine. Sometimes I don't know what to pray for. I'll tell you what I want to pray for. What I have prayed for. I've prayed and I want to pray some more for someone to take Putin out. And David prayed those kinds of prayers in the Psalms. You read through the book of Psalms. He prayed those exact same kind of prayers towards his enemies. And as we were on that Zoom call that I mentioned to you earlier, we'd been on the call for about 45 minutes or an hour, and all of a sudden, one of the guys from Ukraine, he said, "I gotta go. The sirens are going off. I gotta take cover." And he was gone. And it was so sobering to me to think of the danger that they were in. It became real. More real to me at that very moment, and I just wanted to cry. All I knew to pray was, "God, help him, help him." And I'm wondering if at that moment the Spirit took over my praying with groans that are too deep for words, because the Spirit was there and he knew exactly what that fellow's needs were and what his family's needs were. And isn't it true, too, sometimes we may not know what to pray for concerning Tracy Simmons and the Simmons family. And so we are trusting that in our feeble praying and our crying out to God on their behalf, that the Spirit will take our prayers and he will begin to pray for us with groanings too deep for words. We don't hardly know what to pray for, but he does. And so we trust him. And so the Holy Spirit helps us in our understanding of God's word. The Holy Spirit helps us with our praying. He prays for us with groanings that are too deep for words, the scripture says. And then here's a third thing this morning that I want to mention to you about the Holy Spirit is he assures us of our salvation. And we need this assurance. We need to know without a doubt in our mind that we are saved and that we belong to him. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. The Holy Spirit in us is God's guarantee that we are his. Think of it this way. The Holy Spirit labels us. He identifies us as God's child. Some of you have a Bible that on the cover of your Bible is your name. It's imprinted there. It's saying that book belongs to you. And so too, the Holy Spirit in us is God's label of ownership. It's like God has signed his name. We are his. We are his children. We belong to him. I wonder how many of you walked in here this morning under the influence of a different label. Now follow me. Remember, Satan is such a liar, and he continually bombards us with his lies. And oftentimes, the labels that we wear are his lies. And we're influenced by what the world says about us too. And so, and what we've heard outside of the truth of this book. And so we wear labels. Maybe you walked in here with a label like this morning. And this is the label that you wear every day. Not good enough. Anybody wearing that label? Not good enough. How about this label? Guilty. How about this label? Ashamed. Ashamed of what I've done in the past, and I can't get over it. I can't let go of it. How about this label? Regret. I have so many regrets in my life. Loser. Failure. Maybe you feel like a failure as a dad or as a husband. Maybe you feel like a failure as a mom or as a wife. We wear these labels and we are weighed down by them, sometimes to the point that we can't hardly even breathe, and our joy is stolen away, and we feel like, I don't know if I can make it in this Christian walk. And Satan is right there, and he's saying, you're not going to make it. You can't get past your past life. You are no good. You might as well just give it up. And all the while, the Holy Spirit is inside of us and he is shouting out to us, saying, no, 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 that's not true. That's not the way it is at all. You are God's child. You are a child of the King. You are forgiven. You're set free from the past. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us if we'll listen to him. We've had this memory verse all month from John 10:27 that we need to hear his voice. We need to listen to his voice. And the Holy Spirit is the voice of God inside of us. The Holy Spirit is Jesus inside of us. And he is saying to us, you are no longer a slave to the past. You're no longer a slave to sin. You are holy. You are God's temple. You are his dwelling place. Whose voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the father of lies who cannot speak the truth to us at all? Or are we going to listen to the Spirit of truth, who has been given to us as God's down payment to us? Over the next couple of minutes, there's going to be some people who will come up here to the front, and they are going to proclaim to you who you are in Jesus. And I want you to hear what they say, and I want you to pay attention to what God is saying to you through them. This is who you are in Christ.
You are redeemed, bought by the precious blood of Jesus.
You are accepted just as you are.
You are already a citizen of heaven.
You are a new creation in Jesus.
You are the masterpiece of God's creation.
You are the bride of Jesus.
You are chosen by God.
You are God's adopted child.
Amen.
You are loved by God.
You are part of God's family.
Amen. Amen. And so again, I want to ask you, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to God's voice through the Holy Spirit that is in us? As this is the message that he's communicating to us? Or are we going to listen to the liar of all liars, who says that you're no good? Don't listen to that liar. You listen to God, okay? Now, if you're a believer already in Jesus, this is who you are. If you're one who's never said yes to Jesus, this is who you could be, who you can be. Let's pray together. Oh God, help us to listen to the right voice, to listen to your voice, and to believe it, and to be encouraged by it. And God, if there's one person here today outside of the Savior, may they realize, oh, this is who I could be. And I just pray that your Spirit will move in their heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.